A traumatized cyclist has spoken out after five men armed with pangas and knives robbed a cycling group of their bicycles near Langa. Abdullah Jaffer, the owner of Jaffmed Pharmacy in Ottery, and his fellow cyclists were riding to Stellenbosch when the assailants attacked them on the Jansmuts Drive Road on Sunday. Joining us this morning to explain the incident is Abdullah. Abdullah, assalamu alaikum. Shukran for chatting to us.
Walaikum salam. Not a problem at all.
Firstly, our condolences goes to you and your cycling buddies. We can only but imagine the trauma this incident must have placed on you.
Shukran, I appreciate that.
But if it's not, if you can, possibly just explain to us what exactly transpired. Is this a route that you've taken previously? And if so, we were talking earlier on about having going with a group, and this is what you were doing. So that's what alarms us about this incident.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it is a route that we've ridden quite often. I mean, we've ridden it now probably for the last 4 weeks, as we are doing sort of longer training rides, building up to a couple of races towards the end of the year. And, we generally go out that way. We've got a meeting spot in Rondebosch, and then we ride out that way on Jansmuts Drive, and then going through Epping that way out towards Stellenbosch. So, on Sunday morning, we met up at about 20 past 6 in the morning in Rondebosch, and we rode out that way. So we must have passed Jansmuts Drive at around about 6:30, 6:25 to 7. I mean, it was sun was out and it wasn't dark or anything like that. And it's immediately after where the old power station, where the cooling towers are.
Mm.
So we were heading towards Pinelands, and we were a big bunch. I mean, we were 13 guys coming through then. We were all riding relatively close together. And, we spotted these five guys on the other side, opposite side of the road, on the right-hand side, obviously coming from where the cemetery is across the railway line.
Mm.
And they approached the front of our bunch, but didn't make any move towards them at all. And when the tail end of our bunch came through, then they pulled out the weapons. The one guy had a knife, others had sticks and pangas and so on, and they managed to force a few of us off our bikes, so actually physically pushing us off our bikes.
Sure.
So a lot of us, obviously we were going at quite a speed. We were probably moving at about 35 or 36 kilometers an hour at the time. So yeah, we hit the tar quite hard. And I think five or six of us came off. The rest of the guys managed to get through unscathed. And they grabbed three of our bicycles and they ran across the field again, across the railway line and then into Langa. So yeah, it just happened so quickly. And we were just shocked that they were, brazen enough to do that in a big bunch of riders. There were 13 of us there.
Mm.
But it happened so quickly. I mean, there was nothing that any of us could have done at the time.
Now something like this, and that's why we were having this discussion, because it just shows that you think that going with a group, it would be a lot more safer. Now, talking about this, so the only thing that was taken were your bikes. None of you had any valuables on you.
No, Alhamdulillah, they didn't, sort of accost any of us. They didn't come towards us. Because, I mean, a lot of times when they do these muggings of cyclists, they do normally get to the cyclists because they know, I mean, obviously we're carrying other things, cell phones, that type of thing. But luckily, Alhamdulillah, they didn't come towards us. They just grabbed the bicycles and then ran off with those. So, we were quite lucky in that regard.
And usually, when you are, is this the first sort of incident that's happened, to your group of this
nature?
Yes, region?
I mean, we've been riding for many years, and like I said, I mean, we've ridden this route now for the past 4 weeks, and even last year and previous years when we were training, we generally ride that way. And, we haven't had any issues. And normally as cyclists, we say, stick in a bunch, ride together, don't ride alone, even if you're two or three, try and ride in bigger bunches, because there is always safety in numbers. And I think that's why it sort of resonates with a lot of cyclists, and why it has taken, it's sort of gotten a lot of mileage, is because we were such a big bunch, and these guys still came and sort of attacked us. So I think a lot of cyclists are now sort of, a bit worried that, our biggest defense is that, when we were safety in numbers, sort of now gone out the window, and we are a little bit worried about that.
Inshallah, may Allah make it easy for you and your team and continue to ride. I think this is something that should just make you stronger and more motivated, and be safe out there, inshallah.
Inshallah. Shukran so much for the call.
Shukran for the time to chat to us.
No problem.
That there, Abdullah Jaffer, he was attacked on Sunday with a group of cyclists on Yansabad's drive, in fact. And joining us as well this morning, Alderman JP Smith, Safety and Security for City of Cape Town. Good morning, Alderman. Thanks for chatting to us.
Morning, Ashwa.
Now, we just heard from one of the cyclists that were attacked, on the stretch. And Alderman, what stands out is the fact that they were in a group of people. Is this something that we're picking up as a trend in terms of attacks on a group? And this was a large group. It was about 13 cyclists.
No, it's not. The attacks on single or maybe two cyclists, yes, but this is the first time we're aware of such a large group being attacked. An attack by a fairly large group of people.
Mm.
And of course, what the attackers rely on is the fact that the cyclists won't defend themselves. So whether there's two of you or 13 of you, the cyclist, the way they dress, what they have on them, permits for very little self-defense. And I think that's what the attackers in this case rely on. For us as the city, it's very difficult because, we have quite limited policing resources, and it's not possible to be everywhere where the cyclists are going to be, nor do you know beforehand where cyclists are intending to go. So you can't cover all the routes they're on, which makes it very challenging. But on this, around this particular area, we will take action without me spelling it out, because you never know if one of the attackers is listening. We will take some preventative action in the coming weekends. It's not a defense, because there are thousands of places to spring upon cyclists in this manner, and it's impossible for the police to be everywhere where the cyclists are. And this was, criminals will change their crime pattern. So at the moment, high-value bicycles, and really high-value in many cases, being cycled around the city is easy prey. It used to be that case with cars, but then cars got harder to hijack because of the anti-hijacking mechanisms that got built into the cars, and criminals changed their patterns to house robberies and other stuff. And as home defense systems got better, you know, if you're a criminal, you're going to find something else to prey on. And at the moment, I think the cyclists are probably the ones moving around the public with the highest value items exposed.
All right. And you know, there was also an incident in which tourists were attacked or robbed, rather, at Silver Mine. Now, we are heading into that period, Alderman, where we're going to have an influx of visitors coming to Cape Town and visiting our popular tourist spots. What steps is the city taking in terms of cracking down on criminals that are now operating in these areas that are frequented by tourists?
Najma, I just want to go back to the cyclist one quickly and just say that,
all right,
As much as you're interviewing the city, you should also now be calling SAPS and saying to them, have you arrested anybody for the attack on the cyclist?
Mm.
Because what's going wrong with our country is not the fact that we're not preventing every crime. You're never going to prevent every crime.
Mm-hmm.
What's going wrong is that we're not punishing any crime ever, and that our rates of convictions for offences is incredibly low. So criminals like the ones who attack this group of cyclists will get to do it over and over and over, because there won't be an arrest. And as many people have now delighted in pointing out, that power lies with SAPS, and SAPS must then give account. You must ask them, have you made any arrests for that incident? Have you charged anybody for it? How is the conviction proceeding? And don't relent, because we lose interest in these crime stories after this point in the story. But the real story is what doesn't happen afterwards. So you must ask those that necessary question. As for the Silver Mine incident, we weren't alerted to the film shoot. Often the permit is issued by Sandparks. It's on their land.
Mm.
And so it's not a film shoot that we're aware of. Normally when the film shoots book their film shoot permits for the city, if they're in locations that are risky, they will be advised to get security or law enforcement with them. And of course, that's a tariffed service for which they pay.
Mm.
And that's part of the permitting process. But this was not a permit that we were aware of or that was issued by us. We do occasionally stand by for sandbox permits, but that's when we're alerted to them and our assistance is requested.
Mm. But Alderman, just coming back on the cyclist incident, what Abdullah mentioned, the cyclist that was attacked, was that once these men, you know, took their bicycles off them, they ran back into Langa. Now that poses as a challenge, Alderman, because most of our busiest highways and where these attacks happen are on either sides, you know, informal settlements. It's really difficult at that time to sort of, even if you need to go and, you know, chase your assailant, and I'm not encouraging that, but what I'm trying to say is that it's difficult to now expect results when you kind of know the scenario. If you go to these areas, people are living on top of each other.
That doesn't change anything. The fact is that the police have a responsibility to investigate crime. And our conviction rates show that we have too few detectives who are inadequately trained. National government has left our police stations on average around 30% under-resourced, and the detectives are the weakest part of that equation. And I'm not blaming SAPS, I'm blaming national government for not giving adequate resources to SAPS, because they control the purse strings. And in the newest budget, Najma, they're in fact planning on stripping a further 3,000 cops off our already beleaguered stations in terms of that budget.
Mm.
So there is a real problem. If you are not arresting and charging those individuals, what stops them from doing it again next weekend?
Mm.
So you say, okay, well, now the police have to be there to prevent it. But the police can be on that corner. They might not be on the next corner. You cannot have a policeman on every corner. That policing philosophy is profoundly flawed. Policing has to rely on a successful conviction of people who do crime to prevent other people from trying the same thing. And in this country, that has collapsed, along with crime intelligence.
Now, as much as, Alderman, you're encouraging the SAPs, you know, being more adequately equipped and having detectives that are more skilled in doing it, there's always been calls for the army to be patrolling in these informal settlements to curb the scourge of crime in terms of the crime that happens within the informal settlement community, and as well as those that occur on the highways. What's your take on that?
Well, I understand why the call is being made. It's being made out of desperation because these areas are so vulnerable. So I understand where it's coming from. But it's the wrong philosophy. It's an emergency measure, but it's not a sustainable measure. The military are not trained to do community policing. They're trained to shoot things. So that's a very wrong policing philosophy. And B, they have no powers in terms of the criminal justice system. So you're not going to get any convictions out of that. It's more of the let's have more visible security, let's have more visible security. But the part that we all rely on, the successful conviction of criminals, that part remains profoundly broken if you bring the military out. And until we get that fixed, nothing of the rest of the thing will work. All of us will spend more and more money on armed response and security for our houses and doing more and more neighborhood watch work because national government isn't fulfilling their crime prevention function. And the city will be put under more and more pressure to do a job national government is supposed to be doing with money that is supposed to go for your parks and your roads and your water and electricity and housing. So it's an unsustainable thing. National government has to get SAPs together. And the sooner they disband SAPs and put them under local government control, as is best practice in the rest of the world, the better.
All right, Alderman, that's all we have time for. Unfortunately, we've run out of time. But thank you so much for chatting to us and, you know, giving us feedback on this topic. Thanks. We'll chat to you again soon.
Welcome.
All right, that there, Alderman JP Smith, chatting to us with regards to the Panga gang attack on our cyclists. We chatted to attack cyclist Abdullah Jaffa earlier on as well.